This is Jay Sekulow. Tragedy strikes in Oklahoma. We're going to talk about relief efforts, and we're going to give you an update on what's happening right now in Washington, D.C.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
There is absolute devastation in the heartland this morning. The city of Moore, Oklahoma, wiped out after this monster tornado tore through that town. Unspeakable tragedy. As rescue teams and volunteers dig through the rubble, a task that has moved from rescue in some cases to recovery in others, dozens are dead, and many of them are young children.
In some cases, there will be enormous grief that has to be absorbed, but you will not travel that path alone. Your country will travel it with you, fueled by our faith in the Almighty and our faith in one another. So our prayers are with the people of Oklahoma today, and we will back up those prayers with deeds for as long as it takes.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
This comes directly from Iowa. One of my constituents attempted to establish 501c3 charity called Coalition for Life of Iowa. She told my staff that an IRS agent told her, quote, your application's ready to go. However, it will not be approved until you send a letter signed by your entire board under penalty of perjury saying that you will not protest at Planned Parenthood. She also received a letter from the IRS asking several invasive questions, including the details of the group's prayer meeting.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. And our hearts and prayers and sympathies out to the folks in Moore, Oklahoma, and the devastating tornado that took place there. We're going to go first to, let me tell you what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about some relief efforts where you can help out. We've got our friend Darren Tyler in the studio with me here at our media center, Jordan and Thanner in Washington, D.C. Let me first very quickly get an update on what's happening in Washington. Then I want to get to Darren so we can talk about some relief efforts where we can help out. Jordan, Thanner, what's the latest here?
We got the Senate Finance Committee hearing. This has got the former acting commissioner, the former commissioner of the IRS, Shulman, is there participating, and as well as Miller. And again, we played some of the sound bites, but I think this is the clear one right here, which is why, after the Senate directly asked Miller over and over about this specific reporting that they were hearing from groups that we represent, saying, hey, we're being targeted. Right. Look at these questions. Why did you deny it? Let's take a listen. This is Senator Orrin Hatch just moments ago asking the acting commissioner of the IRS. He resigned, but he's still the commissioner for a couple more weeks. Take a listen, Bite 32.
Why did you mislead me and my colleagues, my fellow senators, and most importantly, the American people, by failing to tell us what you knew about the exact subject we were asking about? Why didn't you tell us?
Mr. Hatch, I did not lie.
You what?
I did not lie, sir.
You lied by omission. You knew what was going on. You didn't, and you knew that we had asked. You should have told us.
I answered the questions. I answered them truthfully.
All right, we're going to have more out of Washington, D.C. in just a moment. Let me go to Darren Tyler, who's, of course, heads up Conduit Mission and Conduit Church. Darren, you're from Oklahoma. Your thoughts first. We'll talk about some specifics in a moment. Your thoughts about your friends and family in Oklahoma.
Yeah, well, the good news is that everybody is present and accounted for in my personal circle of friends. The bad news is that countless others who aren't okay right now, and Oklahoma is a resilient place. We've lived through many tornadoes, but boy, it's just this one has been particularly hard to watch and to take in.
You've got a mission that's going to go out on Friday. Folks, we want people to help on this. What's the best way for people? You need financial support. There's a matching challenge out right now. We encourage people to donate to Conduit Mission. Is that the best place to go?
Yeah, they go to conduitmission.org, and right on the homepage is a button. They just click and it goes right to there.
All right, folks, so it's Conduit Mission, C-O-N-D-U-I-T. We'll have a link on our website and our Facebook also, mission.org. Make an online gift there. There's a matching gift that one of their members have put up. So any amount that's given is matched, and they're going to be sending a team out Friday. I'm going to ask more from Darren on the particulars on this when we come back from the break. But again, it's conduitmission.org. That's conduitmission.org. And if you go to our Facebook, it's there. You can link right over to it. And I encourage you to make some support. We'll be back with more with Darren and Jordan and Than in a moment.
The devastation and destruction is widespread. An extremely powerful tornado ripped through Oklahoma, flattening thousands of homes and destroying many schools. And the loss of life continues to climb. Americans understand that they can make a difference in a critical time like this. Americans want to help. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're partnering with Conduit Mission, a faith-based agency that's mobilizing to provide support to those on the ground in Oklahoma. When a tragedy of this magnitude strikes, prayer and support for the victims and their families is critical. Make a difference. Go online to conduitmission.org. Let the people of Oklahoma know that they are not alone. Your prayers and your financial support to aid these tornado victims is needed and greatly appreciated. Find out how you can make a difference. Go online right now, conduitmission.org. At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now, calling for the release of Pastor Saeed. Online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org.
Back to the broadcast. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110 if you want to offer prayers or support for the people of Oklahoma City, if you're in Moore, Oklahoma in particular. Let me get a location straight here, because I've been to Oklahoma City a number of times. I've been to Moore, actually. That's pretty much a suburb of Oklahoma City, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, so Darren Tyler's with us with Conduit Mission. By the way, it's conduitmission.org. It's up on our Facebook and ACLJ's Facebook as well, Will, both. Yeah, so if you go to ACLJ's Facebook or to my Facebook, I'm sure Jordan's as well, you can link over to Conduit Mission, that's C-O-N-D-U-I-T, mission.org, and make an online gift there to help them out. Darren, you've got a team going out on Friday. Tell us what's going to happen. What will you do? What do you do in a relief? You've done this in Haiti. You've done this around the world. What happens?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty what happens now, after the first responders are done with the work that they have to do of finding survivors, is that now you're left with tens of thousands, probably, of people who there's nowhere to go home, and their home is splintered. And so a lot of it is just walking arm in arm with them while they're going through their possessions and treating them with respect and love and finding, you know, heirlooms and pictures. And so that'll be the initial response. And then at the same time, there's going to be people whose homes are still standing, but the roofs are blown. And so we'll help tarp roofs so as the rain continues, because it takes forever to get an insurance settlement in one of these situations, so you could have a home with no roof
for months
and rain continue to do
damage. What about the ministry side of it? I mean, what do you tell people?
You know, you listen is what you do. You do a lot of listening, a lot of asking questions and crisis counseling. I mean, it's sometimes it's like being the fourth man in the fire, which is what Jesus was to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these are some folks that have definitely walked through fire, and so our goal is to be Jesus to them, and to not let the hammer get in the way of Jesus. If we're doing construction, that the most important is their soul, and so sometimes it means putting the hammer down and just hugging them,
right,
and walking with them.
You look at the pictures right now. I mean, it's unbelievably devastating. Now, Oklahoma is used to tornadoes. This was a particularly brutal one. I mean, there were initial reports of death, Jordan, when you and I were talking last night. On the phone, we were looking at over 100, which was just, you know, shocking. I mean, not that 21 or 24 is a good thing. It's horrible, and there's kids involved. But devastation here, Jordan, looks awful. But yet Washington State, you know, is interesting. I was wondering if the hearings were going to go on today. But I guess the business of government has to go forward, which I'm going to tie into a question I'm going to ask Darren, actually, in a moment.
When things are scheduled and, you know, you got less than 24 hours, I mean, I will say this is how shocking these storms were. We knew that there were bad storms in Oklahoma. I mean, they were already covering those yesterday. I was at Fox News for the second time around 5:30 last night, pre-taping for Fox Business with Neil Cavuto. This was on and they were showing the school. It just had happened, and they just didn't know if there was anyone there or not. They did not know if, you know, because people there are more prepared. We look at it, you know, people that don't live in Tornado Alley, and you see this and you think, well, if this hit where I live right now, there'd be no one left.
Right.
But people here are, you know, in Oklahoma are a lot more prepared than those of us who don't live in those kind of areas. And so you just didn't know. And then you turn on the news when I got back, and the numbers were climbing, and you could understandably see why. But the devastation is still there. I mean, this is a lot of lives lost and homes lost. I saw a veteran who was on who said this is like when he was in Iraq or Afghanistan. It was that post-traumatic stress of it. And you could tell he had not even taken it. His house had just been destroyed.
Darren, is there a post-traumatic stress, I guess, aspect of it? I'm sure there is.
Oh, yeah, because you see unimaginable things when someone's house has been blown down. I mean, with the survivors, even though the death toll has gone down, the survivors are, you know, you walk around, you see people just covered in blood and impaled with things.
Yeah,
and
they were talking, doctors were talking about
awful,
that today.
Awful things that you see that your human mind is not necessarily wired to handle. And then you just combine it with, well, what do I do now? I don't even recognize where I am. All the street signs are gone. I'm in a town, but it's not my home anymore.
So you're going there Friday. Talk about what you're going to do. You're going out with the team. What will you all be doing?
Assessing the situation and finding the best place. We partner with the best place is the local church.
Right.
And there are churches that are arming themselves right now. And so what we love to do is lock arms with who are on the ground. They've already got the relationships there. They already know whose moms and whose dads and aunts and uncles. So we, you know, that they do half of the work of assessment for us, and then it's us doing some assessment and, like I said, starting to walk through this, and then get the plans, because this is a months long recovery. This is not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen in a week. It's months of work ahead of us, and so partnering with our friends at Hope Force and sending teams out. Well, by Friday there'll be a trailer on the ground with supplies in it, with equipment, with tools. And guys just starting to do, you know, right now what you're seeing is the initial response. There's no water, there's no, you know, shelter.
Right.
Those things are being done. And then next is, well, now what do we do? Our lives are shredded. And so we'll be in the trenches walking through with them.
Folks, we want to encourage you to right now, we're taking a little bit of a break, obviously, from what's happening in Washington. We're going to talk about it in the last segment of the broadcast. But right now we want to help Darren. They're going to leave on Friday. That'll give a chance for the first responders to have completed at least their initial search and rescue efforts, and then they're going in to minister to the people with both physical needs and spiritual needs. And we partnered with Darren before at Conduit Mission. We want to encourage you to do that right now. It's Conduit Mission, C-O-N-D-U-I-T, mission.org. You can go to my Facebook or to the ACLJ's Facebook, and there's a link on there as well. And we encourage you to make a donation. There's a matching challenge that is out right now. I know that Pam has made a gift. Others are making gifts. I know Jordan has done the same. We need, and Anna, I think you need to make sure that you have a level of understanding here, folks, because there's a sense that, well, it was not as bad as we thought it was going to be because the initial reports were 100 fatalities. There are 9 kids dead, at least 11 adults, maybe upwards of 24 people. The devastation, though, is breathtaking as you're seeing it. So I don't want a malaise to take place here. That's one thing I was concerned about. I mean, I'm glad the numbers are down. But for those families and the families involved here, Jordan, we know this from disaster efforts before. The relief efforts here, I saw you posted something up on your Facebook as well. This is a really big deal, and people really need help.
Yeah, they need help. They need spiritual help. They need assistance from organizations large and small. You know, you got to have the big groups, you got to have the small groups, and people who are flexible and able to get in and get going, you know, immediately. As Darren said, when the first responders have got, you know, if they've done, first you're searching for survivors, then you're searching for bodies, then you're trying to start the cleanup. But, you know, I mean, I remember just the reality of this. Last night, the medical examiner's office,
yeah,
when they were on and they start talking about, you know, insurance adjusters staying away. This is how quickly in some of these areas that have this. I mean, this town was hit like this in 99. I mean, not as extreme, but a similar sized tornado. And you think about that. You'd have to deal with an insurance adjuster right now. You know, I mean, these are tough situations people are going through, even if they didn't lose a loved one. And if they did lose a loved one, they've lost everything. I mean, imagine if everything, all of your, every possession you've had, and I'm not just talking about things that you buy, you know, we're talking about family possession. I heard someone else say, you know, thankfully they found their Bible. Right. That was a very powerful. It was on Greta Van Susteren's show last night. Someone who you would think at this point you'd looking up to the sky and you could be blaming, you know. And instead, they're just happy that they survived, their family survived, and that they found their, you know, the treasured items in their family, which was the Bible. You thank Jesus right on the air. I mean, those people are going to need a shoulder.
Yeah, and Darren, basically, that's what you're going to be doing. And building.
And building and helping them with their costs as well. I mean, 100% of what people are donating now. I'm a pastor. My salary comes from a church.
Right.
Very grateful for that. So 100% of what's coming in, we're able to just utilize on the ground. And we're nimble. And it's like these larger, like Samaritan's Purse, they're great organizations. And we're, if they're the vacuum cleaner, we're kind of like the hose to get to the hard-to-reach spaces and around the corners in the trenches. And it's for the long term, just like Haiti, just like New Jersey. We're not going to do a hit and run.
Yeah, I know that Franklin Graham at Samaritan's Purse has sent out team dispatch, I guess, this morning. But as Darren said, and they do a great – by the way, amazing. Support Samaritan's Purse. They do a great job as well. But what we're doing today on the broadcast is trying to raise support for through Conduit Mission so that the team that's going to leave from this area of the country to Oklahoma on – that'll be there Friday – can get to work. And folks, we've got a matching challenge that's out. Some of the donors from Conduit Mission have gotten together and put out. And we're not talking about raising $150,000, $200,000. That'd be great. I mean, if we could raise $20,000 or $30,000 between now and when they depart, that will really go a long way in helping people. So I want to encourage you. We're taking a break from our fundraising today for the ACLJ to support Conduit Mission. So it's Conduit Mission, C-O-N-D-U-I-T, mission.org. And when people donate that money, it's tax deductible, of course. Darren, you just said 100% of that is going to go to this project.
Yeah.
So everything is earmarked for
this. Yeah, everything that's coming in today with, you know, will be on the ground and going to work within 48 hours. So.
Well, there you have it, folks. So if your gift today, 48 hours, it's going to work. So go to conduitmission.org again. Conduit Mission, C-O-N-D-U-I-T, mission.org. And make an online contribution. Also, let me encourage you to go to our Facebook, my Facebook, ACLJ's Facebook, Jordan's Facebook. We've all got links to Conduit Mission there. We'll keep those up during the day. That money's going to be deployed literally in 24, 48 hours. It'll be there. So, folks, again, as we close this segment of the broadcast, Darren, thanks for being with us.
Thanks
for going out there representing all of us. And, again, for our listeners around the country, let's help the people in Oklahoma spiritually, but also financially, and also meeting physical needs that are necessary as well. So if you just go to Conduit Mission, that's C-O-N-D-U-I-T, mission.org, make an online contribution. We've already done so. You could do it as well. Conduit Mission, C-O-N-D-U-I-T, mission.org, tax-deductible gift, all of it going to the folks in Oklahoma. Thank you, Darren. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Jay.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, our work continues here in the U.S. and around the world to free American pastor Saeed Abedini, a U.S. citizen imprisoned in Iran because of his Christian faith. Many are speaking out in support of Pastor Saeed, including some of the top names in the music industry, lending their voice to our online campaign, SaveSaeed.org.
I'm Stephen Curtis Chapman.
I'm Michael W. Smith.
Hey, what's up? I'm Michael Tate from the Newsboys.
I'm Kevin Max of Audio Adrenaline.
I'm Toby Mack.
This is John Foreman from Switchfoot, urging you to sign the petition to free Saeed Abedini.
Would you join us as we petition and pray?
Help us share his story.
Your signature could save a life. Save Saeed.
Join me as we petition and pray for the release of Pastor Saeed.
Make a difference. Add your name to our petition now calling for the release of Pastor Saeed online at SaveSaeed.org. SaveSaeed.org. The devastation and destruction is widespread. An extremely powerful tornado ripped through Oklahoma, flattening thousands of homes and destroying many schools. And the loss of life continues to climb. Americans understand that they can make a difference in a critical time like this. Americans want to help. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're partnering with Conduit Mission, a faith-based agency that's mobilizing to provide support to those on the ground in Oklahoma. When a tragedy of this magnitude strikes, prayer and support for the victims and their families is critical. Make a difference. Go online to conduitmission.org. Let the people of Oklahoma know that they are not alone. Your prayers and your financial support to aid these tornado victims is needed and greatly appreciated. Find out how you can make a difference. Go online right now, conduitmission.org.
All right, listen to Senator Orrin Hatch on the IRS matter, because we're going to turn our attention to that in a few moments here for the next segment of the broadcast. By the way, tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to have an analysis as the hearing went forward today in the Senate. We'll have an analysis there. Will, what time is the hearing scheduled tomorrow with Judd? 9:30 Eastern time tomorrow. So we'll have analysis for you in the morning here on the hearing as it's going forward. But the responses of the acting Commissioner of Internal Revenue Service to Senator Hatch is pretty unbelievable. I want you to listen to number 33 and 34. We'll play them back to back.
Frankly, the concept of political motivation here, I did not agree with that in May. I do not agree with that now. We were not politically motivated in targeting conservative groups. Huh. That's borne out by Mr. George's report.
What else could you call it? You knew this was going on. You knew we were concerned. You knew we'd written to you. You had our letters. Why didn't you correct the record? Why didn't you let us know? We would have solved this problem a long time ago.
TIGDA was looking at the cases, sir.
And oh, so was TIGDA's responsibility, or was it yours?
I'm sorry?
The commissioner relied on you to answer our letters. Why didn't you answer them? And why didn't you tell us this information you knew, at least on the second?
I believe I did answer them, and I did answer them truthfully, sir.
Jordan, this is, and Than, this is really enveloping into a huge scandal and a cover-up, and something else is here. It's now every day we're getting word that, well, somebody else in the White House knew, and it was earlier than we thought, and it wasn't just that an inspector general was going on, but that actually that an inspector general was going on, and that there was information about exactly what was taking place with targeting conservatives. This is unbelievable. And we've got some information we're going to announce tomorrow that's pretty dramatic. But give us your analysis here.
Well, I see this. I'm going to play this again. We played it once. I want to play it again because I want to respond to it, because this takes you to the scandal of all scandals. When this is someone's immediate response to a question when they're not even asked that, Byte 32, listen closely. It's very important.
Why did you mislead me and my colleagues, my fellow senators, and most importantly, the American people, by failing to tell us what you knew about the exact subject we were asking about? Why didn't you tell us?
Mr. Hatch, I did not lie.
You what?
I did not lie, sir.
You lied by omission. You knew what was going on. You didn't, and you knew that we had asked. You should have told us.
I answered the questions. I answered them truthfully.
You know, Jordan, the cover-up here, Than, as well. This is starting to get really intense, and I believe tomorrow's hearing in front of Congressman Issa is going to be one that's going to maybe blow the lid off this whole. I think it will really expose what the IRS was doing here in a maybe more dramatic way, because I think the questions will be even more intense, certainly than what's going on at the Senate, which tends to be the cooler of the bodies. But the fact of the matter is, I think we have to be realistic. This, obviously we're all praying for the people in Oklahoma City and the tragedy there, but this hearing tomorrow is going to be gigantic.
Well, I see this. He wasn't asked, did you lie? His first response is, I didn't lie. That's Nixon. I mean, this is the Nixon team that when they went down, your immediate response is, I did not tell the truth. I told the truth. I'm not lying. I answered what you asked. That wasn't even what Orrin Hatch, and that's why he said that. What did you say back to him? Like, what was that? That's not a response. That wasn't even the question. Have you noticed throughout this process in the last week, no one will answer the actual question they're getting, whether it's the President of the United States, who they still have not clarified, he has not clarified, or the acting commissioner. They are dancing around basic questions that they if they can't answer, they're in real trouble. He did lie. He omitted. And an omission, when you're asked something directly, is lying, especially when you ask by Congress. The IRS doesn't like being the ones under review. They don't like to be the ones audited. Nope. But if you don't tell the IRS something and because you weren't so directly at, you know, you omit it, right, you're in big trouble. You're a criminal.
Well, look what the president did. Let's play number 21. I mean, he's the one who – he talked about dodging the question. How about answering a question that wasn't asked? Listen to this.
Can you assure the American people that nobody in the White House knew about the agency's actions before your counsel's office found out on April 22nd?
Let me make sure that I answer a specific question. I can assure you that I certainly did not know anything about the IG report before the IG report had been leaked through the press.
Well, let me tell you this, and here's where I think we have to be clear here, and this is what I want to get from Than. Obviously, the country's attention and thoughts and prayers are in Oklahoma City, but this scandal with the IRS, Stan, is big, and there's going to be a hearing tomorrow. The media's covering both. We're covering both. Obviously, we continue to ask people to support Conduit Mission throughout this program to help them out. But, Stan, let's talk about what we're going to really see tomorrow, what we're already seeing today.
Yeah, I think what has become clear, Jay, is this goes well beyond the IRS. This goes to the White House. This goes to the President of the United States. And the hearing today, I think it's a precursor for tomorrow. And the bottom line is, I don't think anybody in D.C. believes the White House anymore. I mean, think about the timeline here. The story literally changes every time they talk about the issue. When they first started talking about it, they denied everything. The president said, you know, then that he wasn't aware of it. And now we know that the people closest to the president, his top lawyer, his chief of staff, they knew about it. In today's hearing, under questioning from Senator Burr, it was revealed that the top lawyer at the IRS knew about it. So given how frequently their story has changed, Jay, nobody in D.C. believes that the story that they are telling us now is the true one. And I have to tell you, if there is one person who I want questioning the Department of the Treasury and the IRS about this, it's Daryl Issa.
Yeah,
so pay attention. 9:30 tomorrow morning, we're going to get some more answers.
All right, we're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's take a call, Jordan.
Yeah, let's go right to the phones. Rachel in Georgia, line one. Rachel, welcome to JSEC Yo Live.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi. I'm kind of discouraged because it seems like a little bit over 50% of the country, no matter how bad this gets, they don't care. And I'm just...
You talking about the IRS matter?
It's like everything. His poll numbers are still 50%.
No, they're dropped under 50%. But let me tell you something. You take the IRS matter, you take the situation with the AP warrant, now the criminal investigation that they tried on James Rosen from Fox News, you take all of these together with Fast and Furious information being leaked on the whistleblower. That came out yesterday. I don't think the American people, Jordan and Than, are ignoring this. I don't think that's right now.
No,
I think people are responding.
It's just, remember, the people who are following it now are the most engaged. I mean, you got to know your stuff because there hasn't been the action taken. This is the investigation. This is it, the people, you know, who are watching the news. You get a little more nervous about this, Rachel, you're going to start getting nervous about your health care and the IRS having this.
By the IRS.
I think, you know, it's a bit of a slow burn right now because at first we're dealing with people who are interested in hearing from an inspector general in Washington, D.C. That is not the most, you know, the most pressing issue on most people's minds during the day. So it starts to have an effect now, and it will certainly, you know, the polls are one thing, you know, 50%, whatever. Look at the agenda. There is no agenda. There is no move. The Obama agenda
has stopped.
It doesn't even exist. I mean, when is the last time you heard the president talking about something substantive, then?
Right. Yeah, and Jordan, I think even those poll numbers are going to start to change when, you know, a lot of people don't like the Tea Party. That's one thing. But when they start to understand this line of questioning this morning from Senator Grassley, that groups are being asked about their prayers, about their prayer meeting, that crosses politics, Jordan. That speaks to the fact that the IRS can target anyone. And when people feel like they're a target, they're going to start to pay attention.
Well, folks, I think both Than and Jordan are right. It's going to be huge tomorrow on the news, and it's going to be a huge legal issue, and we're going to be front and center on it at the ACLJ. We'll be back with more in a moment. If you want to talk to us on air, 800-684-3110. Again, let's help our friends out at conduitmission.org. They're going to be making direct relief efforts in Oklahoma City. That's Conduit, C-O-N-D-U-I-T, Mission, M-I-S-S-I-O-N. .org, and you can go to Facebook. We've got links to it there. Make an online tax-deductible donation. They've got a matching challenge going on. They're going to have teams on the ground in 48 hours or less. ConduitMission.org. Back with more in a moment.
When a tragedy of this magnitude strikes, prayer and support for the victims and their families is critical. Make a difference. Go online to ConduitMission.org. Let the people of Oklahoma know that they are not alone. Your prayers and your financial support to aid these tornado victims is needed and greatly appreciated. Find out how you can make a difference. Go online right now, conduitmission.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your phone calls again and supporting our friends at Conduit Mission who are on their way out to Oklahoma to help the folks in Moore, Oklahoma after this horrible tragedy. Conduit Mission, that's C-O-N-D-U-I-T, mission.org. We're going to go right to the phones, so we're getting questions on the IRS and some of these other brewing scandals. Let's go ahead and take the next call, Jordan.
Yep, Irene in New York, line two. Irene, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Irene.
Hi, hon. Why didn't you hold a press conference a year ago about the Tea Party being attacked? Because maybe it could have changed the outcome of the election.
Well, I don't know if it would have changed the outcome of any elections, but I will tell you why we did not. We did not get contacted by most of these groups until the second round of questioning. That's the ones that have been so, you know, significant here, the intrusive questions. Those came out in March, April, and May. You know, we're analyzing the files. You're analyzing the cases. We started the correspondence process. But there was not going to be anything you could do but in that three-month period. Now what we've got, and I'm glad in a sense that it's coming out now, is we've got the admission of culpability from the IRS. And that in and of itself, Irene, is a big deal. And that's exactly why we're fighting. And Jordan, the response, and Than, I think we're going to see some big issues develop on this in the next 24 hours. I mean, significantly.
Absolutely. And I do think people have to realize as when we were giving this information, we gave it over to Congress. These groups gave it over to Congress, and they started asking for investigation. The IG's report took that long. And the truth was, we knew about our organization, you know, the ones we represented. The fact that this whole targeting issue they had assumed, you know, well, we handled that by 2012. I think that I don't know if we've gone through it yet. I mean, we have 28 letters that contradict everything Jay Carney said yesterday in the press conference. I don't want to call everyone in the administration that they're dealing with Oklahoma, but it's a lie. You know, it's lie after lie after lie from this administration. And somebody is telling Jay Carney what to say. Okay? Somebody is writing these talking points. Now, is it the IRS people? And why would they not know that, hey, these 27 clients that are causing so much commotion right now and threatening to sue us, which is what our clients have been doing the past week and a half. Did we send them any letters after May of 2012? Oh, we sent 28. Well, maybe we shouldn't tell Jay Carney, the president's spokesperson, to say that all the letters stopped.
Well, we're going to be releasing some of those letters tomorrow, folks, because we didn't want to do it today with everything going on in Oklahoma City, but tomorrow those letters will be released. Let's grab another call here. And by the way, we've got a lot more coming up again on the broadcast. You're going to want to stay tuned. Go ahead. Who's next?
Yep. Let's go to Tim in Tennessee, line three. Tim, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, Tim.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm just kind of curious with the three events that's going on with the AP, IRS, and Benghazi, have we risen to the level that we want to seriously consider impeachment of our president, or are we just going to be satisfied with saying that our president has surrounded himself with incompetent people and he's not?
Well, I think the impeachment issue is one that has to be much more developed. You have to show culpability of a betrayal of trust of the office inside the White House. That has not come out yet, although I will tell you, it sure isn't looking good, because every time Jay Carney gets up to speak about the IRS matter, something new's coming out. We're going to get into that a lot more on tomorrow's program. So I think the answer, Tim, is stay tuned. The final number has not been written on this one, and I think it's also fair to say that you're looking at a situation where, and I really believe this is the case, that the longer this goes, Than, and get your view on this, the worse it probably gets for the White House.
Yeah, no question about it. I think you do have to stay tuned. But there is something we can do now, Jay, and this goes to the last couple of callers. You know, a lot of people aren't trusting the White House or the IRS or the DOJ, and for good reason. They shouldn't be trusted. But we have a process. We believe the law is relevant. We can speak to the law. That's why we're taking this issue to the court. So impeachment may be down the road, but there's legal action right now, Jay, and that's why we're pursuing it.
All right, very quickly, Michelle calling on line one. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm mortified by that IRS scandal.
Yep.
But I was wondering, have people forgotten about the Operation Fast and Furious?
I don't think they have, Michelle, and I'll tell you why. Yesterday, the whistleblower was found out, the DOJ acknowledged that they, in fact, targeted him with the smear campaign. We're going to get into all of this on tomorrow's broadcast, so you're going to want to stay tuned. Folks, as we close this segment out again, conduitmission.org, they're going to be helping the good folks. They're going to be our hands and feet in Oklahoma, in the Moore, Oklahoma, Oklahoma City area. So I want to encourage you to support Conduit Mission at conduitmission.org. That's conduit.org, mission.org. So it's conduitmission.org. Everything you donate is tax deductible. All of it going to the folks in Moore, Oklahoma. Talk to you in a moment.
The devastation and destruction is widespread. An extremely powerful tornado ripped through Oklahoma, flattening thousands of homes and destroying many schools. And the loss of life continues to climb. Americans understand that they can make a difference in a critical time like this. Americans want to help. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're partnering with Conduit Mission, a faith-based agency that's mobilizing to provide support to those on the ground in Oklahoma. When a tragedy of this magnitude strikes, prayer and support for the victims and their families is critical. Make a difference. Go online to conduitmission.org. Let the people of Oklahoma know that they are not alone. Your prayers and your financial support to aid these tornado victims is needed and greatly appreciated. Find out how you can make a difference. Go online right now. conduitmission.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Listen, in this segment of the broadcast, I want to get you back up to speed on the IRS issue. Jay was on with Megyn Kelly on Fox News on Friday, sort of recapping the hearing that we had on Friday, looking forward to this week's hearings. I wanted you to have a chance to hear that interview. Let's go ahead and roll it now.
Jay Sekulow is the chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, and as I mentioned before the break, got this started. Who was responsible? He could barely get him to say that he talked to Nancy. And then Nancy told him who was responsible, but he can't remember who it was?
Well, I've got the names of who were the agents involved in this. I don't know why they're having such a difficult time determining this, because they all sent out letters, Megan, and I've got them. And because I've got 27 clients, I've got them from four different offices. So we know the agents' names. They know the agents' names. They know the supervisors' names. They know the group managers' names. I worked. Look, my first job out of law school was in chief counsel's office of the IRS. I was a trial attorney in a regional office. Our client was the tax-exempt group. This is nonsense. Miller's testimony was embarrassing. Of course he knows who this is. And how come Lois Lerner is still in charge of the IRS tax exempt? Has anybody asked that question?
This
is
the group.
Why is she still there?
This is the group that oversaw directly the unit, right? Determinations unit, so-called, in Cincinnati, that was giving everyone such a hard time. And that group answered ultimately to Lois.
Right. And she still has her job. And the person that had a job before her, who was there during 2010 when this criteria was developed, she's now heading up the Affordable Care Act provision of the Internal Revenue Code,
Sarah
or the
Hall
IRS's
Ingram.
Service requirement. She's now the agent, the person in charge.
So
it's pretty scary.
So the person, Sarah Hall Ingram, who we believe was the one overseeing this program while it was being carried out against the conservatives, has now been effectively been placed in charge of the Obamacare unit, responsible for dealing with people's information. So that's a little chilling. And Lois Lerner, let's talk about her, because she got a lot of press today. Why hasn't she been fired? Because they accused her of repeatedly lying to Congress. They said she had testified to them recently. They said she came before Congress on Wednesday, May 8th, and was asked in part about these items that we've been, that the IG was investigating. Didn't say anything about them, didn't offer any truthful testimony on those subjects. And then 2 days later on Friday, they've admitted, planted a question at a public event that she was attending and had somebody ask her about it. And then she comes out and says, oh, yeah, we did it, but we didn't do it with any malice and that we're sorry.
Yeah, it's not partisan. She also said and so did Miller today. This isn't partisan activity. It's just we were looking at what the positions these groups advocated were, which sounds pretty partisan to me. But that's about as good. And I thought you were fantastic yesterday when the president made his response to a question by not answering that question when it came to, does anybody at the White House know about this before the White House counsel was let know of this at the end of April, April 22nd? And the president said, let me specifically answer the question. And he says, no, but I didn't know of the IG report until the IG report was released, which was not the question the Bloomberg reporter asked. Megan, this is really getting bad. The president issues his question or response, which is troubling to say the least, coming from the commander-in-chief of the United States and our president, our chief executive officer. Then you got the head of the IRS, can't remember anybody's name, and the person that's in charge with tax exempt is still in charge of tax exempt, even though she oversaw this disaster, which includes, and the Attorney General of the United States may well include criminal activity. So, and even the Inspector General say they have to take a new look at the criminal activity aspect of this, which they did not in their first report.
Then you've got this scathing letter that Ms. Lerner received from some other members of Congress saying, you came up here repeatedly and provided testimony to us that we just do not believe was true. We think you've misled us repeatedly. And they said, especially troubling right. is the fact that in June of 2011, nearly a year before you provided answers that we now believe were misleading to this committee, you were briefed on the fact that there was a be on the lookout memo within the IRS for any conservative or Tea Party sounding groups. Yeah. And you had instructed that that be changed. But when we asked you about it, you didn't mention anything about it. You didn't disclose it. You didn't tell anybody. And that's how Miller sounded today, too, that he had been told, but he refused to testify about it when asked by the Congress. It's like the IRS believed if they didn't tell Congress about it, it would somehow go away.
Yeah, well, you know, be on the lookout list sounds pretty direct and targeted to me. And by the way, Miller said today the acting commissioner now leaving his office 3 weeks earlier than he was planning, so that was no big revelation by the president. He said he objected to the word targeting. Well, the inspector general did not because he used it at least 16 times inside of their report with regard to what the IRS was doing. And targeting in and of itself is partisan. You're going after a particular group.
Okay, but that's, I want to ask you about that. The IG, again, testified not that this was not political, but that he had nothing at this point to contradict the IRS's assertions to him that this was not based on political reasons. So I ask you, Jay,
right.
if this was not, if the targeting of conservatives, repeated targeting over a period of 18 plus months and then it resumed later, so let's call it 2 years, rounded up, if it wasn't for political reasons, what other possible reason could there have been?
None. Of course it has to be political because look who was targeted. You had conservative organizations, Tea Party groups, Patriot groups, conservative Jewish organization Z Street, because of their position with regard to Israel, which was contrary to what the president's position was. Could you imagine if this came out, say, September of last year before the election, that the IRS had specifically targeted individual conservative organizations and had leaked information to some of those organizations' opponents in courtrooms? That in and of itself is criminal activity.
He
so what you've
that.
Got here, and
Second
I think the...
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but no, he didn't say that it was not leaked.
He said he'd be
shocked. Would be outraged.
He'd be shocked.
If it's shocked. Well, I'm a little shocked that they targeted, you know, conservative groups, although after doing these cases for 24 months, nothing shocks me anymore. And the inspector general is the one that used the word targeting, by the way. So I think the reality is, Megan, this is nothing but politics. But there's, I believe that the attorney general saying that he's going to look at the criminal aspect of it is fine. But now you've got the FBI investigating the IRS. And in the meantime, let me just say, I still have 10 clients that are waiting for their exemption, and we sent a letter on Monday to the IRS acting commissioner and to the chief counsel's office and to these agents saying, grant the exemptions already. No response, so next week we go to federal court.
This business about, now this was, you know, one congressman, Congressman Brady, talking about what one of his constituents went through. But, you know, you heard him saying, is this still America? When he said that his client applied for tax-exempt status in December of 2010, and then, I'm sorry, in July of 2010, which is just months after this whole thing was born, so it was in full-fledged by July of 2010, she gets visited by the FBI terrorism unit, four FBI inquiries, unscheduled audits by OSHA, ATF two times. She'd never been audited before. I mean, now, that's his allegation based on what his constituent told him. But, Jay, I mean, if that is true, then this goes much deeper and much higher and gets to a much more disturbing level than we know today.
If we got the terrorism unit looking at, you know, potential Tea Party tax exempt individuals and harassing them or questioning them, but they didn't bother to, you know, follow up on the first Boston bomber when he went over to Dagestan, that tells you something. But I will tell you this, Megan, I've got a case right now where a client challenged the HHS mandate and affordable health care, part of Obamacare. We've got an injunction on it. He was audited 4 years ago or 3 years ago. No changes. Everything was fine. It's a fairly large company. After we got the injunction, surprise, surprise, a new notice of audit. Again, they got audited. So I'm hoping that this is mere coincidence, but at this point, I assume nothing's coincidental. And the fact is, we are learning today of many organizations, conservative organizations, not only that were either slowed up in the process of getting their exemption, but those that already had it were audited and extensively during the same period of time, 2010, 2011, 2012.
Their defense.
Billy Graham, Franklin Graham said that too.
Their defense seems to be, okay, he said in his opening statement, Miller did, that we made mistakes. And then he admitted to abuses, but he said we made mistakes. And he said, look, it was 2010. We were getting an influx of applications to be this tax-exempt organization called a 501c4. And so we had to have some way of dealing with all of them. But I want to point this out because there is another piece to this, Jay. He said we were getting a lot of complaints about said organizations and whether or not they really were political. And that's what the IRS said. I've got it right here in the IG report and their response to the IG. They said, we also received numerous referrals from the public media watchdog groups and members of Congress alleging that specific Section 501c4 organizations were engaged in political campaign activity to an impermissible extent. And so I ask you, to what extent do we look to, in particular those on the Democratic side of the aisle, who are trying to light a fire under the IRS to go after these groups?
Well, Chuck Schumer, Al Franken, asked for these kind of reviews, and they got them. So now they don't like the result because the IRS is acknowledging and apologizing for what they call it, poor customer service today. Well, it's like returning an item to JCPenney or Sears. I mean, give me a break. This isn't customer service. If you file a false return with the IRS, you don't get to say, I'm sorry, you go to jail. So this whole thing is absurd. It is politically motivated. That's becoming clear by the moment. And as more of this becomes under light, I think it's going to, frankly, Megan, we probably have just not even scratched the surface of what was going on. And by the way, in 2010, applications for 501c4s, look at the IG's report, were actually down. They put this in place before there was, quote, the surge of applications. And if there was a surge of applications, ask questions that are relevant to the determination of status, not what books you read, who's in your membership list, who donates you money, and have you ever thought about running for political office or anybody in your family ever thought about that?
You raise a good
point.
That'd
be a good way to start.
You raise a good point about what the IRS does to the normal American citizen when they find themselves in the IRS crosshairs. And that was a point made very eloquently by one of the congressmen we saw today. It led to applause on the House, on the committee floor. We will show that to our viewers in just a minute. Jay, thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Again, folks, that was Jay on with Megyn Kelly on Friday. We will, of course, keep you up to speed on the hearings that are happening this week on our litigation that is moving forward. But listen, today, as we send our prayers to the people of Oklahoma who have just suffered this terrible tragedy, we want you to participate in helping as you can. For more information on how you can help, go to conduitmission.org. We're partnering with Conduit Mission to provide some relief to the people of Oklahoma. Again, the website is conduitmission.org.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The devastation and destruction is widespread. An extremely powerful tornado ripped through Oklahoma, flattening thousands of homes and destroying many schools. And the loss of life continues to climb. Americans understand that they can make a difference in a critical time like this. Americans want to help. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're partnering with Conduit Mission, a faith-based agency that's mobilizing to provide support to those on the ground in Oklahoma. When a tragedy of this magnitude strikes, prayer and support for the victims and their families is critical. Make a difference. Go online to conduitmission.org. Let the people of Oklahoma know that they are not alone. Your prayers and your financial support to aid these tornado victims is needed and greatly appreciated. Find out how you can make a difference. Go online right now, conduitmission.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Listen, our hearts continue to be with those in Oklahoma City who are enduring this tragedy. We will continue to keep them in our prayers. I do want to keep you updated on this IRS issue. Very important hearings happening on Capitol Hill tomorrow. Jordan was on last night with Neil Cavuto on the Fox Business Channel, also on with Bill Hemmer yesterday morning. I thought if I played those two interviews, it would get you back up to speed on where this issue is, where we go from here. And I did want to make sure that you stay up to speed on that because we will transition back to that tomorrow for those very important hearings. So let's go ahead and play those two interviews now. Again, this is Jordan on with Neil Cavuto and Bill Hemmer.
Well, the IRS smacked them down, and now they are luring up. Jordan Sekulow is representing dozens of Tea Partiers getting ready to sue over this growing scandal. Where does it stand right now, Jordan?
You know, we are putting together, Neil, since last time we talked, we have added a number of clients. We were at 15, 16. We're now over 20. And we're either going to be filing likely federal, you know, be federal court, not probably as a class action, but as a number of plaintiffs together, parties together, either towards the end of this week or next week. And we're looking at three challenges. The first focuses on groups that we represent that still are not approved. One, the Albuquerque Tea Party in New Mexico that dates back to December of 2009. They weren't denied, but they haven't been approved. So those kind of groups, it's first to get a not monetary damages, but equitable relief. They need to, you know, it's been too long. The statutes provide for that. And the courts can intervene at that point as well for the other groups. And we're also looking at not just equitable, but monetary damages as well for those who may have already been approved, but weren't approved until well after. We're talking 2.5, 3 years, some that were approved just the last couple of months. And what I've noticed, and ACLJ is our number of attorneys that we've been working with our various clients, is the interest level in those who are just ready after they saw that hearing. They were already upset when they heard this news, but they saw the first hearing last week on Friday. That was it. I mean, you've had more and more people saying,
no, you're right,
what?
Jordan. They're right to be peeved, and you're quite accurate to say they have every right to sue, I guess. But suing the government is an uphill task. Suing the IRS is an almost impossible one because the IRS can apologize to you if you owe back taxes. I've tried it. You can't apologize to them. So having said that and knowing the Herculean task you're up against, what will be the differentiator here? What will make your argument stick and this suit, class action, otherwise succeed?
You know, it wasn't a one-off that these individuals all have the similar questionnaires. It wasn't just one office. It wasn't just people who went to one person in a Cincinnati office, but it includes the IRS headquarters, offices in California, and, of course, the now famous Cincinnati office, and that the IRS admitted to wrongdoing, but then, you know, as the story is unraveled, which we knew when they said that they had done something wrong, Neil, that it wasn't just Cincinnati, because we have the letters, and we provided those to Fox News. Everybody's showed those and seen those now. And that the extent of the wrongdoing and the fact that the IRS not only admitted and apologized, but it's kind of gone halfway. You know, they said it wasn't, you had the acting commissioner say, in his opinion, it wasn't illegal. But a constant, he may be thinking criminal, and that's its own separate issue. That's prosecutors. That's not our suit.
But
our
hasn't the Justice Department constitutional. Actually, I'm sorry, Jordan, but has the Justice Department actually helped your case by launching a criminal investigation?
Oh, sure. That's certainly, I mean, the fact that was Attorney General Holder's first statement that, you know, we're going to launch a criminal investigation, that heightens the level. It's never, it's very easy, and it makes sense, Neil, that the government, it's almost immune to most part with sovereign immunity from monetary damages. And that's because all of us as taxpayers have to pay it. We're not looking here. These are not massive damages. These are costs people put on their own credit cards when they filed their application, which costs hundreds of dollars, and they may have paid the fast track fee, and then here they are 3 years later, not such a fast track. And the court and the statute, Neil, has been very clear. After about 270 days, that's when federal courts can get involved. All of these clients, of course, a lot of people out there meet that.
Man, oh man, Jordan Sekulow, we'll be watching very closely. Good seeing you again.
Absolutely. Thanks, Neil.
Jordan Seculo, executive director of the American Center for Law and Justice, his organization representing more than a dozen groups, and Tom Zawistowski, executive director of one of the Tea Party groups, and the lawsuit joins us from his home state of Ohio. And good morning to both of you gentlemen. Tom, I want to start with you because I think, frankly, you've found out a lot in the last 4 days that you're probably looking for over the past 2 years. When you first filed, what were you trying to do, Tom?
Well, when we first filed, you know, we just were trying to handle the money that you have to handle for bus trips to Washington. You know, you put on a public event. Yeah, you know, you've got money that you've got to handle for refreshments and security and things like that. So it wasn't any kind of big business. We were just trying to do the proper thing. And in order to get insurance, for instance, which is critical, you got to be incorporated somehow. So we were trying to figure out how could we incorporate.
Okay, now so were you granted status or were you delayed or what happened, Tom?
Well, thanks to the ACLJ, we were granted, and it only took 2.5 years.
Two and a half years.
Yeah, we started in June of 2010.
June of 2010, you were granted status in what? In the fall of 2012?
December 7th, 2012, a month and a day after the election.
Wow. What do you think about what you're learning now?
You know, I really thought, and Jordan can tell you because we've worked closely together over the last year at least, I really thought I knew how broad and deep this was because I had shared a lot of experiences with the Tea Party around the country. I got to tell you, I was shocked on Friday. I was really rocked when the Illinois congressman brought out the letter of the IRS to the Coalition for Life in Iowa and said the IRS asked them in writing to tell us what your members pray for. That takes it to a different level for me, and I hope it takes it to a different level for all Americans, because that's a level we don't want to go to.
One more question for you before I get to Jordan. If you were delayed 2.5 years, what was the effect on you and the group you were trying to put together?
Well, it had a lot of effects. It hurt your fundraising because your status was uncertain. It took hours, hundreds of hours away from my ability to lead our organization. So it hampered our efforts. And I really think that was the purpose of this. It had nothing to do with our tax status. It had nothing to do with electioneering. It had to do with the 2012 election.
Yeah. Jordan Seculo, you represent many groups, Tom included. What do you plan to do? Because I've got a note here that suggests you're going to sue the IRS. I don't know if that is the case, but if so, to what end?
We're going to sue the IRS, Tom's group, some groups that were approved, but approved after well over the normal period, the reasonable time period. And we still have 10 clients who are yet to be approved, some who filed in the end of 2009 that are still waiting, Bill. And then you've got groups like Tom's who missed 2 election cycles. And they were trying to get insurance for buses. And part of Tom's story is that they went for 501c4 status because they were referred to that, but they were even okay incorporating and paying taxes if they had to, just to protect the members that were on the buses. But yet they were delayed, shut out. It's called viewpoint discrimination. So we're planning, Bill, on bringing lawsuits here, representing groups like Tom's organization, others from across the country. About 17 groups so far are ready to sue, but we're working with more and signing those back up who we did represent.
Okay, we'll see where that suit goes. Tom, how does that make you feel? Is that compensation for you now?
Well, it's another step, and it's an important step. And I want to reach out to the Tea Party leaders and also other conservative group leaders who are watching this program. You need to step forward now. There's going to be not 17 or 27. There's going to be hundreds, if not 1,000 groups involved with this. And so I see my role now as saying to you, I stood up with our group. You need to step up now because this is an important constitutional issue.
Tom, thank you for your time. Jordan, thanks to you as well. We'll see where this all goes. Thank you, gentlemen.
Folks, we'll be bringing you more on that IRS issue tomorrow. But for today, we're partnering with Conduit Missions to provide relief to the folks who have just suffered this terrible tragedy in Oklahoma City. If you want to be a part of helping them through this tough time, go to aclj.org. Find out how you can be of assistance. Again, we're partnering with Conduit Mission. You can find more information at conduitmission.org.
When a tragedy of this magnitude strikes, prayer and support for the victims and their families is critical. Make a difference. Go online to conduitmission.org. Let the people of Oklahoma know that they are not alone. Your prayers and your financial support to aid these tornado victims is needed and greatly appreciated. Find out how you can make a difference. Go online right now, conduitmission.org.